This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And so we have our next guest in the studio, Jonah. Who have we got?
We have Simon Wanderer here to talk about
Wanderer.
and you're here to speak about the Melbourne Prize. And this year it's the Melbourne Prize for Music. And it's quite a big prize. They've got a pool of $100,000 to share with some talented people who might want to enter. So welcome, Simon. Do tell us about yourself and this wonderful prize.
Thank you both for having me in on this Sunday in Melbourne. The Melbourne Prize now is in its 15th year, and I started the prize really on the basis that I felt, A, it was good to have a prize that was named after a great city that was renowned for its arts, and also to give Victorian artists opportunity for recognition and financial reward. And interestingly, at the time, around the early 2000s, I just Googled Melbourne Prize. I'd Googled London Prize, Paris Prize, New York Prize, to see if there was anything else, any other models, and there wasn't.
Oh, really?
So I just felt I was on a good thing,
okay.
And 15 years later, we're still going,
right.
And we're still rewarding Victorian artists.
Now, I love the concept that it's not everyone's put in a mass, and it's not visual arts or writers or music. Each year you pick, and this year it's music, and you go for, and your judges are musicians or famous people within the industry as well. Is that right?
Yeah, we run in what we call a 3-year cycle, the Melbourne Prize for Literature, Melbourne Prize for Music, and Melbourne Prize for what we call urban sculpture. I was involved in an early sculpture project. I commissioned the Magic Pudding sculpture at the Botanic Gardens.
That's
and I've
gorgeous.
Always had a, or I didn't, it was a project that I convened. We just feel that those three sectors are three sectors that really need profile and support.
Yep. And especially considering that the government's cutting arts funding all the time, and it's really hard. So when you first started 15 years ago, and the fact is that you thought of it, and there was no model to copy from overseas, which is normally what happens. How did you go through that process, and how did you get people interested and the initial money? I'm sure it's has improved a hell of a lot since those first years.
Two things. Firstly, when I started the prize, I wanted to start a prize with significant financial reward, which I think is important.
Yep.
And we started out at $60,000. How did I look? I think sheer terror.
Terror or excitement?
Both.
Yep.
My family has a background of sort of in the arts and supporting the arts, but I have a business background. But I just felt that this was an idea worth pursuing, so I actually used to work on it at night. And I created an interest. I got my first sponsor, and I then really...
How hard was that to get the first sponsor, or did you con a friend that...
Do I look like the sort of person that could come
hey,
anyone?
We all have friends who go, come on, help me out. I really want a good prize. Well,
funnily enough, there's two stories.
Yep.
One was a local government sponsor.
Brilliant.
But I produced miniatures of the Magic Pudding sculpture in the Botanic Gardens.
I remember you telling
me this.
Yes.
To fund the Melbourne Prize. And my first sponsor, believe it or not, was the man that bought three of them. And I told him about what I was doing. He was, I won't mention his name or the company,
yep.
But he was CEO of a major multinational. I went to him, gave him his third miniature, told him what I was doing, and walked out of his office with a check for $20,000.
Awesome.
And I didn't have a bank account to put it in. I didn't have a Melbourne Prize bank account to put it in. But it was a very interesting, exciting, happy time. And
But where did that idea come from to use the miniatures? Now, and explain about the sculpture and where it is in the botanical gardens.
Well, I was part of a group asked to be part of a group called the Committee for Melbourne's Future Focus Group, which was at the time an under-40s leadership program, and we had to come up with a project. And my project was to develop a CBD-based children's garden with a centerpiece sculpture of the magic pudding, and it was just an idea.
Why the magic pudding?
Well, I think the magic pudding really represents, it's an iconic piece of Australian literary heritage.
Yep.
I have an English background and I sort of equated it to the Peter Pan sculpture in Hyde Park.
Okay.
Your listeners might know that.
Yep,
that
yep, of course.
So I presented the idea, funnily enough, firstly to Federation Square, but it was a difficult site in those days. It ended up at the gardens, which was its natural home. And we commissioned the work, sited it in 2000 and opened what was called the Children's Garden. Then a major foundation gave them the balance to finish it off. And at that time, I had the idea for the Melbourne Prize, but I didn't have any money to start it. And it just so happened that, I don't know, good ideas seem to come from somewhere to help you, and I had the idea to, with some help from some other colleagues, to do the miniatures, and we sold a lot of them.
And have you got any left?
We were allowed to do, all this was under copyright from the Lindsay family.
Yep.
We were allowed to do 75. We've sold 59. So there are 16 left.
And why are you keeping them, or are you just
waiting? We're not keeping them. We'd love to sell them.
If somebody wanted one.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
That helps the prize. It goes to the Melbourne Prize. All that.
Back to the Melbourne.
Well, that's the selling of these
sculptures.
Yeah,
the miniatures, the funds go to fund the Melbourne Prize. Mm.
Okay, so here you are. You know, like you did the first one. What was it that first year?
We start, the cycle is always Melbourne Prize for Urban Sculpture 2005.
Right.
Then literature, then music, then urban sculpture, literature,
right.
Music. So we are now in music at the end of the fifth cycle.
Right, fantastic. And how difficult is it to get the sponsors now to give you the prize money?
Well, it's interesting you say that because it's easy in terms of we now have an established reputation, but funding in the arts is very difficult and there's a lot of competition. Obviously, there's a lot more foundations and there's a lot more potential patrons, but the competition is fierce.
And what sort of artists do you have? Like, what sort of genres of music? Is it across the board?
We have always wanted to have the Melbourne Prize as broad as possible, and both in literature and music, we accept all genres. And in sculpture, the broad nature is we accept propositional work and finished work.
Mm. And well, especially with sculpture, that it takes a long time. Actually, writing and music, of course, they all take a long time, don't they? So people, if what's the next one, sculpture, that people should be really thinking about what, you know, thinking of what they're going to present.
Yeah, well, we've now been around for a while. It'll be the sixth sculpture prize and people will know that it's on the agenda.
That whole family of sculptors would talk, wouldn't they?
I think so. Yeah. And it's become, it's a $60,000 prize and it's at Federation Square. It's great exposure.
Yeah, but with music is so much more broader. Because you're looking at classical, you're looking at jazz, you're looking at folk music, and so many forms of rock and pop, and how do you reach out to that community?
That is an interesting one, because of the three sectors, music is fantastic, but it's very divided. I find that, and what we wanted to do was send the message out that the Melbourne Prize is open to all genres, and I think now what we've done is people understand that, and we do get everything from classical musicians to hip-hop to jazz and everything in between. And what we try and do is have a range of prizes that reflect perhaps different career stages, composing prizes.
Yep.
This year we've changed the Melbourne Prize substantially, the main Melbourne Prize, and I'm happy to tell you
about that.
The Melbourne Prize for Music has always been for a contribution to Australian music, so somebody may be more advanced in their career.
Okay.
We're calling it this year the new Melbourne Prize for Music, and what we are looking for, quite simply, is, or the judges are looking for, is Victoria's most outstanding musician across any genre. Wow. And so, they'll receive $60,000.
So does that mean that they don't have to have a specific piece of work that they put towards the, you know, as part of their competition, or is it a whole range of their work?
Well, what they do, they of course there's an entry form, yeah. And just to give the judges a taste of what they do, they do have to upload a track.
But you don't go looking for somebody; people have to submit themselves.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
So judges don't come to you with, like Joe Blow has got a great piece of music. You then say, well, tell them to enter. Is that what you do?
No, the judges are very much hands off. They're wonderful people. They have to be very impartial. Obviously, there's networks that people, musicians around the music sector.
Yep.
I've never had a brown paper bag at my front door, and I hope I never do.
You never know what's in that brown paper bag.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't have to be a new piece of music. It can be any bit of music they've had in their career. Or?
No, that's a good question. They do have to put in a CV, but the window is the closing date of entries for the last Melbourne Prize for Music, which was July 16 to July 19.
Okay.
So they can have a career, but the window for their creative work is 3 years.
Right. Okay. Right. But then what are some of the lesser prizes in...
This year we have four. We have the Melbourne Prize for Music, we have the Development Award, which is for a younger musician, which is $18,500. We have the Ballura Emerging Composers Award, which is $12,500. All entrants can enter what we call the Distinguished Musicians Fellowship, which is at the Melbourne Conservatorium of Music, which is $20,000. And we have a Public Choice Award, which is three for when the exhibition is on. So the public can get involved.
Oh, right, okay.
And the finalist with the highest number of votes wins $3,000.
Right. Now, judges.
Right.
Tell us.
Who
have you got?
Well, I'm always just so... It's such a... an amazing experience. We just have seem each year to get fabulous judges. And
who chooses? Is it you? It is, because he wouldn't answer that. Did you notice that? He was thinking, how do I get around this?
Well, I have a lot of help, but I do.
But you've been doing it for a while, so you should know, go.
Yeah, exactly. And what we've tried to do, what we've done in the last few years is we've had past winners and finalists, which creates a lovely dynamic amongst the judges. But this year, would you like me to?
Yeah, yeah.
We have Professor Paul Grabowski.
Hello. You couldn't get anyone better than him, could you?
He's fantastic. Yeah. He was winner of the first Melbourne Prize for Music.
There you go.
Yeah. Right.
Professor Lisa Lim.
Yep.
A composer. Kutcher Edwards, who's a wonderful Indigenous singer.
Absolutely.
Melissa King, who's Director of Artistic Planning at the MSO. Helen Marcoux, who is head of Bakehouse Studios, your listeners may know.
Yep.
It's a wonderful place. And Kate Miller-Heidke.
Hello. Another big name right this very moment as well.
Well, Kate was Australia's representative at the Eurovision Song Contest.
Simon. The one place you didn't have to tell us is at Joy, because Eurovision is the biggest event of the year.
Is that right?
It's Christmas. It's Christmas,
a little thing
on
called
Eurovision.
Right. Exactly.
I was so proud to see Kate.
Yeah, she was robbed. She should have won that. But anyway, we won't go there now. What
a
amazing list of judges.
It is. And I think what they represent is as many genres as possible. They all come together. It's it's an amazing meeting. That we have lots of entrants. And it really is a very spirited discussion. It's hard work because...
There's a commitment by the judges, isn't it?
But choosing is hard too.
And the winners, who have you had that are notable that people might know that have...
We've had, of the Melbourne Prize, we've had Brett Dean, David Jones, Paul Grabowski. We've had a number of young Melbourne artists, Benjamin Northey. And a range of winners over the years.
Spectrum there.
And there's no specific conditions on the money that they can just use for whatever they need to do to develop their career, I'm assuming?
Well, in the entry form we say we actually they need to put down what they're going to. It's got to benefit their career. Sure. But I've always said that the greatest gift you can give an artist is to give them time to do what they do best.
Yep.
And if the prize money helps to pay off a mortgage, to give them a year's free time,
that
fabulous.
Is their career,
maybe
isn't it?
A luxury holiday in France, maybe not.
or inspire them, though.
I know.
To write or play music, maybe.
Well, to write and also to go on tour.
Well, exactly. I mean, yeah. But what they have to say is in the entry form, they have to say, put down how they would use the funds to benefit their career.
Sure.
When do entries close?
Entries close on the 22nd of July at 5 p.m.
Okay. And where do you enter?
People can go to www.melbourneprize.org.
Okay.
It's a very simple entry form.
Yep.
And there's a number there if anybody wants to call us.
So musicians, composers out there, if you're interested in getting some cashola, enter this prize.
And it's a very prestigious award to get.
Will help your career along, won't it?
Yeah.
Well, yes, it is. We find a lot of people now have it on their CV, and it's really, I think, helped a lot of people with their careers. So I know we're referred to as the, you know, the sought after Melbourne Prize. And the
have other cities caught on and copied you now instead of the other way around?
I keep an eye on that, funnily enough. I haven't seen anything. There's a Prix de Rome, but I don't know a huge amount about that. But no.
Well, Melbourne's so big on the arts, so it's good that we've own that. So, yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't, actually. Yeah. I'm surprised there's not a Paris Prize or a London Prize or a New York Prize. But there is a Melbourne
there
Prize.
Is a
there
Melbourne
is. That's all we care about.
And what was the website again?
www.melbourneprize.org.
Simon, thank you so much for coming in. It's a pleasure to see you again. And congratulations on what you're doing here as well.
Thank you all for having me in today.
Thanks, Simon. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.